Are you a Catholic woman who loves your faith, but finds certain aspects of living it out challenging and confusing? Are you a Catholic wife striving for a healthy, holy marriage and sex life, but don't know where to turn for straightforward, faithful, nitty-gritty answers to some of your deep and delicate questions? Are you a Catholic mom who's tired of the compare and despair game we all fall victim to on social media, and are just in need of some solidarity as you discover your own unique motherhood? Are you tired of the sunshine and rainbows pitch? Want to lean into the both and of the mess that happens when the truths of our faith get lived in a fallen world? Well, if that's where you find yourself, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Emily Frazee, your host of the Total Wine Podcast. I'm here to dig deep and tackle topics that we are all curious about, but maybe too afraid to ask. I'll answer it all with honesty and humor, because living the faithful life can make you either laugh or cry, and well, laughing burns more calories. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Total Wine Podcast. I'm coming at you from my upstairs office, looking out the window at a truly nasty winter's day. It's our first, like, technical winter storm, and it's one of those that was, like, super disappointing, you know? Like, the news yesterday was like, it might snow, and that's absolutely not what's happening. It is just nasty, cold, freezing rain, grossness. I'm really hoping for some snow at some point this winter. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and she was like, you know, I miss and I wish that, you know, we would get a, like, just a nice dusting of snow. Like, it's the last day of the Christmas season. The tree is still up. There's just something so cozy about having the tree and the snow and a fire going in the fireplace. And I'm like, oh, yeah. She's like, all my Hallmark dreams will come true. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, get you a nice cup of hot tea or hot cocoa, and maybe you can put a little brandy in that cocoa. Our dreams were dashed. It's just nasty freezing rain, which we can still light a fire, but it's just not the same. It's not the same, because with snow, it's just, there's this quiet and this peace, like people aren't going anywhere, but also the snow just absorbs sound and oh, it's just utterly delightful. Which makes me think about the fact that I took a nice long sabbatical basically over the holidays, which my holidays were not necessarily free of stress. As you heard in my last episode, they were very stressful for lots of reasons. But I just took a complete step back from work, and man, we're starting to hear so much more in our conversation about the way that we work, the importance of rest. And it's so hard for us Americans to rest. I know that this is kind of a Western problem, but even other Western countries know how to put the work away and just be. Like, this is a problem that we have as Americans, like a huge problem. And I'm not, like, saying anything groundbreaking. I know that. But I experienced rest, because even though the holidays were very stressful, they were also very wonderful. There was a lot of time spent with friends, some family, and, you know, I just realized how restful and rejuvenating it is for me to be around people, women my age with kids. You know, this is something that I haven't had for such a long time, and all of a sudden I'm plugging into this really wonderful, amazing community group of women, and whoo, talk about a shot in the arm. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And ironically, the topic I'm going to talk about today kind of ties into this revelation that I had, which was that women are not made to stay home, I don't think. Now, this is me being a sanguine extrovert, so I'm painting with a very broad brush here, and I know I'm not going to hit everybody, but we were not made to live at home. You know, I think that there's like this, I was thinking about this so much of how, no, like, we need to get out, we need to be around people, we need community. Like, Jennifer Fulweiler is always talking about, she calls it her village hustle, which I love. Like, we need this community, we need this connection. And it's just it's subtle stuff. It's like completely unintentional stuff. It's just the fact of watching your friends with their kids dealing with the same stuff you are. It's just that, like, oh, it's not just me. Like, we just need, like, just that little dose of solidarity. And it's completely unspoken. It's just something you observe and something your brain takes in. It is just like, see, it's not just you. They're dealing with it too. Now, look how they're dealing with it. Actually, I really like the way that she handled that. That gives me an idea. Now I can take that into my own parenting. I liked that a lot. Let me give that a try. Like, this is the importance of the village. And this is why some of your village, like, can't be bought. Like, yes, you can hire maids. You can hire, you know, all the, like, nannies, all that type of thing. But you actually need that input, that solidarity that you get from other people who are living the same life as you, in the same situation as you, or at least something very similar. And I was just thinking so much about how, like, yeah, that in a very literal sense, like, we were not made to stay home. I keep hearing all of these arguments. Like, I was watching, I know this kind of made some rounds, but the Matt Fred video with Cary Grace, and, you know, people were like, had some reactions and some thoughts. And I mean, this is something that's, this is not new. This is something we're hearing more and more and more about with, like, the trad wife movement and all of these things. And it's just, again, it's these stupid, dead gum flipping pendulum swings that I just, can we just knock them over? Like, they're a pendulum. Like, they're, the weight is not distributed very well. Just knock the stupid thing over and let's move on. you are either a feminist or a trad wife, and there is no in between. Like, if you are even slightly leaning towards one end, then you are in that camp. And it's like, okay, no. But I was just thinking about all these things, and just, yeah. So, I was actually thinking about doing a podcast episode about these musings that I was having. And then there was a reel that went around on Instagram, I believe it was within the last 2 days, and everyone caught their hair on fire. I was like, well, you know, this is kind of perfect timing. Now this actually gives me something more specific to talk about. I was just gonna, like, come on here and just do some random ramblings, but now I have some more specific things to talk about. This is gonna be a lot more, I just blanked on the word. This is going to be more rich. That's not the word I want to use, but that's the first one that's popping in my head. Okay. As a substitute for the word I'm actually thinking of. Yay! Words are hard now when you have 3 kids. Okay. But this video, you know, was basically, it said, like, our grandmothers were happier because they were home and they were doing homecraft and all these, you know, types of things. And so I want to talk about several things in the context of this reel that just lit everyone's hair on fire. Lit my hair on fire a little bit too, but I want to get into that. So first of all, the first thing that I want to talk about is a little bit more the influencer side of things. This is something, I'll be honest, this is something that, like, this is a little bit personal for me, because I've been in that boat where I've put something out and it triggered somebody, and my, you know, nasty things came into my DMs, and it is absolutely demoralizing. Like, I've been on the receiving end of that stuff en masse, and it sucks. Oh my gosh, it sucks. Because it's like, people forget you're a human being, and you're treated that way. And so, I mean, part of me is like, okay, I have completely, if I don't have something nice to say on somebody's post, even if it's like, yeah, I probably should call this out, I just don't say it at all. Because I've been on the receiving end, and it just sucks. It just sucks. But this account, and there's another account that I'm thinking of specifically, that kind of project a more trad wife aesthetic. But at the end of the day, I don't think that they're really putting anything out there that is damaging. There are tradwife accounts out there who are like, yeah, you need to just like lay down, spread your legs for your husband and pop out as many babies as possible. Like, they're doing actual damage. But these other, again, I'm thinking of two very specific accounts that, like, I read Claire Swinarski, the Catholic feminist, she wrote a post recently about one of these accounts in particular, and I loved her take. I was so appreciative of her take, because she was like, listen, if we're going to be feminists, which she's, you know, the Catholic feminist, she's like, we cheer on women who have figured out how they want to live their life, and they're doing it, and they're thriving. We cheer those women on. Like, good. Like, yes, this is the whole point. Now, just because it looks like a trad wife thing doesn't mean that we have to vilify it. Because at the end of the day, like, this is how they feel fulfilled, like, what they are called to in their womanhood, in their motherhood, in their marriage. And they're doing it. That deserves nothing but just a hoorah. Yes, it's so hard to find that. And they found it, and they're doing it. Like, yes, cheer. Cheering, like toasting, like the Leonardo DiCaprio, like Great Gatsby meme to you, ladies. Well done. But at the same time, you know, Claire was talking about how she gets so annoyed because they don't look like her. And I'm like, yes, oh my gosh, I've been there. And I've had to really call myself out about the fact that a lot of my beef with these two accounts in particular, again, not accounts that are out there doing actual damage, but just these accounts that are like, hey, yeah, let's wear pretty dresses and, you know, talk about how we're doing like the perfect homeschooling curriculum and we're baking in these pretty dresses and da da da, you know, like this is the image that they're putting out there. And I mean, if I'm being totally honest, my beef with it, my annoyance with it is jealousy. It's that comparison. It's the compare and despair thing. You know, like this reel pops across my feed because I'm doing a stupid doom scroll, right? Which is my own dadgum fault. And I'm already in a bad headspace. And then I come along one of these reels and I'm sitting there in like 2-day-old jeans that have dried up peanut butter on it. And I haven't washed my hair in a week. And it just puts me in an even worse mood because it just makes me feel even worse. And wrongfully, I look at these women who are thriving and living their best life, and I'm like, ugh, why does she have to put that out there? Why does she have to be this way? Ew, gross. And it's like, she's thriving. She's in a different place than I am. Where I am is not bad because it looks different from her, and because I would love, a big part of me, would love to be where she is. Not necessarily wearing the dresses, because that would put me in a bad mood, because it would get encrusted peanut butter on it, and then I would just be all ticked off at my kids. That's why I don't wear the pretty dresses, because I'm like, I want to keep these nice, and that's impossible with kiddos, okay? And I just don't want to have that fight. That's just not me. That's not how I thrive. That's really all it's saying. Here's how this woman thrives. That's not how I thrive. And that's not bad. We are different. That's a good and beautiful thing, that we are living our lives differently. Like, I always come back to this of like, you know, could you imagine how bored out of his ever-loving mind God would be if we all did the same thing and lived the same way? You know, and I get it. There are trad wives out there who are like, this is literally the formula to be not only happy, but also holy. And if you don't do these things, you are sinning and you're going to be miserable. So live your life my way and you shall be happy. And yeah, chuck that completely across the room. But I think these two women in particular, I'm speaking specifically about these two, I don't think that's their shtick. I think it's just, this is who they are. And they are going to take up space? Great! Listen, we have to be so consciously aware of our own internal response to the things that we see online. We are responsible for that, not them. They should not have to change who they are because they make me uncomfortable. The fact that I'm uncomfortable is something for me to sit with. That's for me to sit with. That's for me to get curious about. Why am I annoyed at this? Oh, well, it's because, yeah, it was a day. I had a really rough day, and then this came across my feed, and it just added to it. So you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm an adult, and I know how to exercise my free will. I'm going to close out my Instagram app. I might even mute their accounts for a little while, because I'm just not in a good headspace to be seeing this. I might mute their accounts for a little while and come back to it later. And I'm going to go deal with the stuff that came up because this is showing me something about myself and it's worth investigating. It's worth being curious about. And it's no indictment on them and it's no indictment on me. It's just we're in a different place and that's okay. So I think we have to be very consciously aware whenever we're seeing this stuff. And just that, I'm not saying that, you know, everything that they put out there, just agree with or be fine with it. If it sets you off, like, oh, they're actually doing nothing wrong because, you know, really you're just jealous of them. That's not what I'm saying. They're human beings. Of course they can do and say things wrong. I do and say things wrong, okay? We're human. But we can hold the duality. We can hold the duality. We can hold the fact, we can hold the both and of people. The fact that there is the desire and the intention to do good and to say the right thing. And because they're human, that's not always going to be what happens. But that intention, I think that, you know, you can tell the difference between a trad lifestyle account that is definitely selling a lifestyle and telling you that you are doing everything wrong unless you're living her way versus one who's just like, here's how I'm living and I just want to share it as an option. There's a huge, you know, the minute you see it, you know. So I just wanted to spend a little time kind of calling out that because mainly because I recognize it in myself. And I figure if that's something that I'm noticing and I'm struggling with, I'm probably not the only one. So I'm just throwing it out there. Now let's circle back to the actual content, what was said, and this whole idea that like our grandmothers were happier. I am so sick and tired. I just want to bang my head against the wall. And I think probably a lot of you do too. I just want to bang my head against the wall for over everybody who's like, we need to go back in time to this other time because it was so much better. Leah Moeller and Catherine Whitaker were both coming out talking about this on their Instagram pages, about this idolization of tradition and this obsession that we have right now with let's go back to this place before because it was so much better than what we have now. And that's fundamentally not a Catholic position. It's not Catholic to say, basically, what that's saying is number one, we were born in the wrong time. Number two, I cannot become a saint in these times unless I live as though I'm not in these times. That's not Catholic at all. The Catholic position is you were made for such a time as this. You were made for such a time as this. I say that's the Catholic position. That's from the Book of Esther. But this is what we believe, is it? Yeah, the times that we're in were kind of sucky. And sure, it would be nice to go back and to hold on to, or we look at the past through rose-colored glasses. Oh, look how nice. Look at these women. Oh, they were wearing these beautiful dresses, and like they had pot roast on the stove every night, and when their husband came home from work, they put on their red lipstick and gave him a big kiss, and the kids were neat and orderly, and everything was so nice. And all I can think when I hear of that picture is like, holy jeez, everyone is putting on a facade, and just beneath the surface, it's absolutely miserable. Because nobody can be that perfect all the time. Everybody needs their time to not be perfect. And to know that that does not make you unlovable or not good. And what I think is that our grandmothers weren't so much happier as I think a lot of them were just really good at putting on a face. a lot of them were really good at not talking about what was actually going on. And that was a societal expectation. We don't talk about these things. You don't go to therapy. If you go to therapy, like, there were stigmas around these types of things. You couldn't speak the truth. Because, oh, you're messing with our very nice picture. You're messing with our very nice facade. You're messing with the perception. We can't do that. No, everything has to look nice. And the reason why I say beneath that was everyone was miserable is because what comes immediately after this glorious time in history that every anti-feminist praises? What came immediately after that? Those women were the mothers to the women who did the women's lib movement. And you're going to sit there and tell me that these two things are not related? They're absolutely related. See, the thing that I just bang my head over is that we're going to vilify feminism, but we're not actually going to look at why feminism happened and address those problems. We're just going to say, no, you guys, like, y'all made deals with the devil, literally, and you're all demonic, and this is about the destruction of women, the destruction of family, and, you know, we need to restore the patriarchy, and women just need to stay home, and then everything's going to be fine. I wish it was that simple. It'd be nice. But that's not the solution. There's a reason why the sexual revolution, women's liberation of the 70s, there's a reason why these things happened. It's because we were obsessed with the facade. It's because we didn't have space to talk about this. So many of you sent me messages. You were like, my grandmother wasn't happy. She suffered X, Y, and abuse and, you know, had so many kids and some of them died. And a lot of you guys told me that they were divorced and were coming from different countries and, you know, their husbands were abusive and alcoholic and da 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 da. Yeah, exactly. This is a story for so many of us. So, like, this is not that's a piece of that story is in my own family. And these women were not, there was no space for them to actually heal, to say the truth of their experience and to actually work with it and to deal with it and address it. And so they just had to kind of stuff it because that was the only way they could survive. They weren't thriving, they were surviving. The other thing that really bothered me about this assertion was, you know, our grandmothers were happier. Happiness is entirely subjective. There's no real way to quantify happiness and apply it across the board. Because the way that each individual person defines happiness is going to be different. Listen, the past couple of months, like, again, have been insanely stressful. And yet, I'm happy. Not because of all the struggle that we've been going through, but because as the struggle has been happening, there have been bright spots. The struggle has sucked. It has, like, royally sucked. I am not going to romanticize any of it, but I'm not miserable. There is a happiness. There is a joy. So this is the other thing that I'm confused about is, like, why are we saying that women need to be happy? I thought that was the problem with feminism, is that they want women to be happy and they're pursuing happiness at any cost. When did we suddenly flip the script on this? I'm confused. I thought that was the problem. That happiness is not the goal, that what we want is joy, and joy is about something interior. That even when your month was super stressful, you can still find the good. You can still see the good and you can still be grateful for the good things in your life, even as there is a lot of turmoil and chaos. You can accept the both and. And again, there's just this romanticization, is that a word? of the past. There's a wonderful movie about this called Midnight in Paris. Now, the director, Woody Allen, is now, you know, we don't like him anymore. For good reason, he got canceled. But the movie makes just a really compelling point about romanticizing the past. So for those of you who haven't seen it, the main character played by Owen Wilson is, in just kind of a stalled out relationship with this woman who he's not really in love with. They're not really in love with each other, but they're going to get married anyway. They go to Paris. He's a writer. He's hoping for inspiration with his writing. And he is always talking about the 1920s, the writing of the 1920s, which is when Hemingway and F. Scott Fitzgerald were writing. And Paris in the 1920s was just the height of artistic creativity. You had Picasso, Hemingway, Fitzgerald. You had, you know, jazz music. You just had all these things happening. And one night he's walking around the streets of Paris and he gets in this car and it acts as a time machine and it takes him back to 1920s Paris. And so he gets to meet Hemingway and Fitzgerald and Picasso, and he gets to meet all these people that he's idolized. And he meets this woman there who is kind of being passed around as like the mistress of all these men. And he falls in love with her. And he talks to her and he's like, I'm actually from the future. I'm here because this was the best era of Paris. And she tells him, no, the best era of Paris was back in the 1890s. Like, he's there in the 1920s when he thought it was like the best time in the world. And he meets this woman who's like, no, it was actually in the 1890s. Well, one night, a horse and carriage comes by and picks them up and is a time machine taking them back to the 1890s. And she meets Degas and Toulouse-Lautrec, and, you know, they're in like one of those little Paris nightclubs with can-can dancers. And she's like, this is the height of Paris. And Owen Wilson's character is like, no, let's go back to the 1920s. Like, these were the glory days. The point is that you don't know you're living in the glory days until they're gone. You can't romanticize the past until it's gone, and it's in the past. Right? We don't live in the past. That is fundamentally not a Catholic position. The past is gone. We trust the past to God's mercy. We have the present and we trust the future to God's providence. We have right now. So this whole move towards tradition, romanticizing, idolizing that things were so much better in years past is very problematic. You know, the reality for so many of us that our grandmothers were victims of abuse. I mean, think about the time they lived through the Depression. They lived through World War II. Like, they were not living in these times being like, oh yeah, these are the glory days. These are the glory days. I'm like, those were tough times. And I think what becomes conflated is that when you go through times of struggle and you come out on the other side, but you go through times of struggle and you have the tools to deal with it in a healthy way, and then you come out on the other side, you are changed for the better. You are happier in a certain sense. You are able to find joy. I experienced this, you know, like in all the years that I went through, like, with my fertility and surprise babies and birth trauma and all this type of stuff. Like, those experiences were horrible. They were so hard. They were so tough. But once I finally got the tools to address it, I'm able to face new hardships in ways with those tools. And yeah, it's easier and it's better and I'm happier. I'm able to find joy. But again, this is something that is not quantifiable. It's something that's very unique to each individual person. It's not something that you can just, you know, apply across the board. So there was a lot of problems that, you know, first of all, the implication of the goal is to be happy. We're happier when we are home doing housework and all of this happened in the past and we just need to harness this and bring it forward. No to all that. Just no. No. The past is the past. We learn from it. And this was one of the posts that Leah Mueller came out with. She was like, hey, there's two extremes here. One is to idolize tradition and the other is to reject it entirely. We don't want to do either. We want to be in the middle. Again, avoid the dead gum pendulum swing. There's a middle ground here. That we can look at the past, we can look at tradition for what it is. We can look at it in context and not judge it through our lens. This is something we do all the time. We're constantly judging history through the mores of our present time. We can't do that. We can't look back and say, oh, they were happier. No, they just had different problems. They had a different way of life. That doesn't necessarily make them happier. Maybe there's something about that that I wish we had today. Maybe I'm feeling nostalgic. Maybe I'm feeling discontent with the problems of the world today. But to say that things were easier or better because they were simpler or because they were different problems is naive. It's completely naive. Again, like this, the movie Midnight in Paris, like you go back in time, you're going to find somebody in that time who's going to be like, oh, I wish it was 20 years before. I wish it was 30 years before. You know, you're going to keep finding those people who wish they could go further and further back. I would actually argue that if you think happiness lies somewhere in the past, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're making it impossible for you to be happy. You're making it impossible for you to find joy. Why? Because your happiness depends on a fantasy. Your happiness rejects reality. The fact is, we are here, we are now, and I'm sorry, but women wear pants. We do. Maybe it's unfeminine. We wear pants. Get over it. We also love dresses. One of the things that was pointed out was, you know, all these women who are saying that our grandmothers were happier and we need to go back to this time, anyone who's saying we need to go back to this other time, would they even have a platform in that time? Like, are they, again, there's a naivete here. Most women these days are college educated. We're voting. Now, again, there's women who are saying that we just need to vote like our husbands. No, because our husband didn't marry a robot. Our husbands married a person, a human being, an intelligent human being made in the image and likeness of an intelligent God. We were not created to do our husband's bidding. We were created to be our husband's helpmates, helpers. I'm going to help you. Hey, honey, you want to vote for this guy? I don't think that's a great idea. Here's why. Let's talk about it. And vice versa. You know, the fact, again, I'm always coming back to this, the fact that men and women were created different. We have this sick inclination to put differences on a hierarchy and to say that one is better or worse, or that the head is above the heart. No, the head doesn't function without the heart pumping blood to it. They're not above one or the other. They are both necessary, right? The heart pumps blood to the brain. The brain sends the signals to the heart to keep it pumping. They are mutually beneficial, but they're different. But one is not better or worse. You take either one out of the equation, they're done. And this idea that, you know, we need to restore the patriarchy in order to do away with feminism. No! No, again, you kill the brain, the heart dies. You kill the heart, the brain dies. They need each other. One may be anatomically above the other, but that does not make it better. You know, a lot of these anti-feminists hate women just as much as some radical feminists do. That's what I think is just really the most jarring thing. And I'm no longer talking about this particular video. I've tangented for a second. It's my podcast. It's what I do. This argument that women need to just lay down and have sex, they need to vote like their husbands, they, you know, need to just make their husband's life easy. They hate women just as much as radical feminists do. Radical feminists say that women need to be men in order to be successful. We need to chemically sterilize ourselves. We cannot be mothers because that's slavery, right? Well, that's all wrong. That's all a crock of crap. That's not going to make you happy either. But then on the flip side, on the pendulum swing, they're equally as misogynistic. One says you cannot succeed in this world unless you are a man, so become a man. The other one says you can never be as good as a man, so put yourself lower than him. How are either one of, like, I just don't get it. When you swing the pendulum so far away from the thing you're trying to correct, you become the thing you're trying to defeat. Just on the opposite end of the spectrum. And it's not Catholic. It's not Catholic. This is what is just absolutely mind-boggling. It's a false choice to say, well, are you a feminist or are you a trad wife? I'm Catholic. I believe that every human being is made in the image and likeness of a loving God. That means that I am a rational creature. Yeah, I said it. A woman is a rational creature. Men are emotional too. We just don't allow them to express their emotions. The only emotion that we accept from a man is anger. But he can be sad, he can be happy, he can be embarrassed. And yeah, he's experiencing it in a male body, so it's going to be different from the way a woman experiences it. But we're both emotional creatures, and we are both rational creatures. This idea that in order to restore order, men need to have absolute power. How do we not see this as a totalitarian regime? You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. The cognitive dissonance that you have in order to create these arguments. I could go on and on and on. The challenge is not to go back to the past and harness what was good and bring it forward. The challenge is to live in the here and now and to be content with the fact that you were not created at any other time. You weren't made in the 50s. You were made now. And the fact that you can speak the way you do and the fact that you can live the way you do is because of all the women who came before you, even the ones you despise. Every woman who comes before us carves out something for future generations. Maybe we don't like what they carved out. That's fair. Like, we can be critical and be like, hey, that was not a good move. Let's correct it. But let's not overcorrect it. Moderation, you know, in the way that we think about these things is not a bad thing. It's not, you know, we think that to be in the middle is to be morally relative, which is like the kiss of death. It's not. It's not. Virtues are not extreme in the sense that, you know, they're outlandish. They're extreme in the sense that they're rare. You know, prudence is hard to come by. Charity is hard to come by. So it's like, whoa, you like, they can kind of, but the practice of the virtue is, it shouldn't be that, you know, it shouldn't be that mind-blowing, that shocking. Virtue is a tempering of extremes. You know, prudence is the thing that checks us whenever we kind of want to, you know, blow up a comment section on somebody's Instagram post. It's like, okay. Prudence, charity, temperance. Hey, look inwards. What's going on with you that makes you want to do this, right? That's what virtue does. To kind of just bring this home and to just tie a bow on it. Again, I know I beat this drum probably every single episode, and it's for good reason. But we have to get more comfortable with being messy, with embracing the both and. You know, with having this introspection that when we see things online, instead of reacting and, you know, throwing our emotions at the person that we think evoked our emotions to go inward, to pause and to be curious. Oh, wow, that really tipped me off. Like, why? Ooh, what happened? Because that's when we grow. That's when we grow. You know, I saw this and I saw, as soon as I saw our grandmothers were happier, my first thought, which I know was probably a lot of yours, was like, one of mine was married to an alcoholic, abusive man. I can guarantee you that woman was not happier than I am in my very loving, stable marriage. Guarantee you. But I paused with that and I thought about that and I was like, you know what? Mine's not the only experience. I'm sure there were some women who were happier. And then I realized like, oh, yep, that's the problem. You're taking one piece of data and you're applying it across the board. And that's the mistake. That's the mistake. And then the more I thought about it, that was when I was like, oh yeah. And also happiness is subjective. And then I saw other people talking about it. I was like, oh right. We're idolizing tradition. That's not okay. We're trying to harness the past. Well, that's not Catholic because we don't live in the past. We live in the present. So that pause is so informative. That rest, what I was talking about at the beginning, rest fuels creativity. Pausing trains us to speak in a charitable and well-informed way. There's nothing wrong. We don't have to give in to the tyranny of the moment. We don't have to become slaves of the algorithm and react to something so that we're relevant. We can pause and think and be rational creatures like we're created. And then put something out in the world that actually builds up rather than tears down. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it brightened your day and that you laughed as much as you learned. If you're enjoying the show and want more people to learn about what I share here, please leave a review and even share with a friend. I hope you'll join me again soon. Until then.